You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the four people that you should never have sex with. I think it's funny how a lot of us already know this information, at least subconsciously we do, but we don't tend to listen to that voice in our head. We don't listen to it, especially when it says, hey, you know, I think this may be a bad idea. You know, but it seems so appealing, whether because it's easy, it's convenient, or, you know, it's taboo and there's a fantasy component. However, I think most of us know this information, but I think tonight we've got to put it out there. We got to talk about this for real. And I think everybody needs to know this information because, you know, it's not until you find yourself in a situation that you weren't planning for that crap starts hitting the fan and that prayer for boredom comes back. I did a show recently on the prayer for boredom. And when people get themselves into drama and chaotic situations, there's a tendency to want to have that boredom back, you know? So let's not have to get there. And let's talk about those four people that you should never have sex with. The first person you should never have sex with, okay? I think most of us know this, but let's talk about it, is the neighbor. Your neighbor is not a good choice to have sex with. And I'm going to tell you why. First off, I'm going to tell you why you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it because it's convenient. It's easy. They're there. You don't have to go far. You're lazy. They're right across the hall. Bad idea. And the reason why it's a bad idea is for all those reasons I listed. Because there's no more privacy anymore when you open Pandora's box. When you have sex with your across the hall neighbor, that's going to be a problem. Even if you have sex with somebody in your building and the building's not that big, that's going to be a problem. And what I'm saying about that is if it's two people on the same groove feeling the same thing, that's one thing. But, you know, I've been around this love thing a lot of times, and I'm sure you have too, where you know that one person's always going to have more feelings than the other. One person's going to feel more connected immediately, and one person isn't. And so you're going to have this dichotomy of somebody that actually cares and somebody that doesn't. And it's interesting, when that person that doesn't really care goes out and does something crazy like, I don't know, bring someone else over to their house, think about it. The neighbor's right there, can see what you're doing, there's a peephole and a wall away, there's just one door and a peephole between you and them. You don't think that they're looking at that peephole? Seeing you come home? I can't believe he's not alone. Who's that with him? Last week, I had a client come in and tell me that they were having an affair with their neighbor. And neither one of them are married, so it's really not necessarily technically an affair, but they're having sexual relations unbeknownst to other people, and they live across the hall from one another. And I asked my client, I said, how do you feel about that? And she goes, well, you know, it's convenient, it's easy. I said, but what happens if maybe he decides to sleep with someone else? She's like, well, I haven't thought about that before. I said, well, maybe that's something you might want to think about. Because, you know, in life, when you're dating somebody, it's one thing to kind of not know everything. It's another thing to know everything. And some people can lie and some people might not. But the whole concept is that if you're having sex with your neighbor, unless it is love at first sight, this is a bad setup. You have set yourself up for failure. I've had friends that had to move out of buildings before because it got so bad. Because they were sleeping with someone for months at a time, and everybody in the building, by the way, knows, okay? Everybody in the building found out. They had massive fights in front of people. They got way too intoxicated. They got crazy, and the whole building found out. Everybody knew about it. And then one day, he goes out and meets someone new, and he's like automatically in love. And, you know, she was moping around, and, you know, everybody in the building's talking about how he's dating someone new. And the next thing you know, he goes around and gets her pregnant, the new girl, And, you know, the new girl's like, well, hey, I can't live here in this building. I mean, you're having sex with a woman two floors down. This isn't going to work if I'm going to have your baby. So what happened? They moved. All of this because you had sex with your neighbor. I mean, it's a good idea in theory, right? It's a good idea in theory. And I have had friends that have married their neighbor. I have one couple in particular that they got married and they lived right next door to each other. But a lot of it was because neither one of them really wanted to go anywhere to go meet anybody. And if that's your situation, you're single and you're cool, and they're single and they're cool, and there's love at first sight, then that might be kismet. But for most of us, it's out of convenience that you even think about dating the neighbor. And dating the neighbor, it's like they live with you. So they know everything you're doing, all you're coming and all you're going and who you're with. And this can get really dirty when you think about it, because you're having to deal with all these issues. You know, the second person that you should never have sex with, and this is more important than the neighbor ever could be, because at least with the neighbor, if things get really bad, you can move. I mean, I know that's a big time deal, but you can move. You can move, you can change locations, you can move to a building with a doorman where, you know, they can't get in. I mean, if it's that bad. But the second one has potential of a lot of problems. The second one here has potential to be dealing with all kinds of chaos, because a lot of times we don't really think about the feelings of others, right? And I want to say this for the record. If you are having casual sex with other people, you've got to wake up and smell the coffee and figure out how they feel about you. If they feel very lackadaisical about things and everything's just hunky-dory and it's no big deal, fine, great. However, if they're harboring some deep, deep, deep feelings and emotions for you, you better think twice. You know, a lot of times we go into these deals or we go into something and it's kind of like, you're not really thinking about it. You're not really putting a lot of thought to it. You're not really thinking logically about the concept. And you're like, this could be fun. And then fun turns into be like not fun. Fun turns into be a real problem. And this has happened for a lot of people who are single, but also on the other side, people that are married, that step out of their marriage for supposedly a one-time thing, this is when everything hits the fan. And there's been several films made about this type of situation, because if you're stepping outside of your marriage to have sex with somebody else, you've got to really think about where that someone else's head is at. Are they just having fun? Or is there more to it? Because if there's more to it, you could just put yourself into a storm that you might not get out of. And for everybody that's married out there right now, I know that sometimes, you know, hey, you've been married for years and you're like, man, you see somebody and they're very attractive or whatever it is. Think before you act. Think before you do something, because is this worth it? Is this worth the possible loss of my marriage? Okay, if this person goes berserk and tells all society that I'm sleeping with them, how is this going to work in the favor of your life? What's going to fall apart? What's going to be cataclysmic? What is going to come off the wheels? Well, the wheels are going to come off. Everything's going to fall off. What's going to happen? And was it worth it? And I have clients that come into my office all the time, and they'll tell me about an indiscretion that they had. And they're not slutty. They're not doing this all the time. But, you know, something came about them, and they went for it. And I said, well, how was it? And they go, it was okay. And I said, okay. Okay. Oh, I mean, okay. Okay is, that's like a sandwich. Like, I had a turkey sandwich at the deli. It was okay. But when you're stepping outside of your marriage and having sex with other people and it's just okay, is that just okay worth a possible ruin of your marriage? Because you got to put it into certain categories and look at it in the proper perspective and realize what happens if you didn't bank on something happening, would that be worth it? Would that be worth to end everything that you have, or to have to come clean and to have a come to Jesus conversation with your spouse and hope and pray that you don't get divorced and hope and pray? And then you're, and then where's the trust level? And so you have to sit there and think, what is it worth? And so when we return, when we talk about that second person, the second person you should never, ever have sex with. But unfortunately, a lot of people think about doing it, and some people do. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the four people you should never have sex with. You know, we have a tendency of glamorizing certain things, of fantasizing about certain people. We also can be kind of lazy sometimes. And in that lazy haze, we can make decisions that are just bonehead. Things that we wish we could take back. Like that show that I did weeks ago about the prayer for boredom. When people get caught having an affair, and they go, oh, God, please, God, I'll do anything. I'll go all over planet Earth telling everybody not to screw my wife's best friend. I'll do it. And then they pray for boredom because they go, God, if I would just be bored at home, doing nothing wrong, my whole life wouldn't be screwed up. And I wouldn't be like, you know, dealing with divorce or having my phone checked now. And now we have a joint Facebook account. Oh, God, why can't it just go back? And a lot of people deal with this. And I'm not just talking about married people. I'm talking about everybody. If you're single, you're divorced, you're separated, you're married, doesn't matter. These four people apply to everybody. Every single person on the planet needs to listen to what I'm saying, because guess what? This is real. This is real. This is real stuff. This is the stuff that movies are made out of. There's a reason why they make films about certain love triangles, because you know what? It's tantalizing. It's fantasized. It's a, you know, they, people fantasize a lot, but it's also, it can be very scary, because you never really think about the outcome of certain situations, because we don't always think about stuff. When it comes to sex, we kind of go, do it and then think about it later. Do it and feel bad about it later. But you know what? We're talking about it tonight. The first person you should never have sex with is your neighbor. And I stress that proximity. The more closer they are to you, the more in proximity they are to your actual physical front door, is even worse. It's one thing if you live in a building with 300 other people and there's 20 floors between you. That's one thing. If you live in a small building, first off, if you do this more than once and you're seen around walking around or something, people are going to find out. Two, if that person lives really close to your actual physical door, they could actually be watching you when you're getting home. There's a reason why there's a peephole in a door, right? Some people use it when somebody's at their door, and other people use it to scan the hallway and to snoop on their neighbors. If the neighbor that you had sex with has more feelings for you than you do for them, that's going to be a problem too, because guess what? It's no longer, we had some fun. It's more like, I love him or I love her. And there, now you have a whole storm of issues, okay? And the idea of having sex with a neighbor is a bonehead idea, because sometimes I've had clients, like I've talked about, and friends who've had to move out of the building. And if that's something you're willing to do, that's fine. But I think that's, you know, that's just putting a lot on the line when you could be finding someone else. Now, I have had friends that have married their neighbor. That's a little bit of a different story. But, you know, they met them, they liked them, they had sex with them, and they're kind of lazy. Like, they don't go out. They're not the kind of person that would go out or meet people. And so it worked for them, and they've been married for years, and they're happy with that marriage. But that's not a high percentage. Okay, let me put it that way. That's not a high percentage, and that rarely happens. But if that is a possibility, great. Let's talk about the second person. The second person that you should never, ever have sex with. And this is important for everybody concerned, single, anybody, married, anybody, is someone that you know has a serious crush on you. Someone you know who has a serious crush on you. And the reason why I say that is, If you know they have a serious crush on you and you haven't asked them out, you don't really like them. You're not really that into them. And so you're kind of avoiding it. But when the time's right and you're feeling vulnerable, or the time's right and you're needing some action, you call that person, and that's wrong. And it's wrong for several reasons. It's wrong, first off, because you're manipulating their feelings because you're probably not really wanting to be in a relationship with them. Two, you've known of the crush, and now you've given in to the crush, and now they feel like you have the same feelings as they do. Three, when you have sex with a person that has a major crush on you, okay, there's no holds bar on this. If you don't call them, there's going to be chaos. There's been movies made about this, where one person wants the other person really bad and will go to any level to get them. Any level. And if you're in a relationship right now, or you're married and you have sex with somebody that has a crush on you, you got to be careful. I mean, that is like live ammo there. That's live ammo waiting to blow up right in your face at the proper time. I mean, I remember several films in the past where, you know, the guy gets home from work and he walks in and the wife's talking to somebody, and as he walks around the corner of the room, he realizes that she's talking to his mistress. And he kind of acts like he doesn't know her, and she kind of introduces herself, that kind of thing. Oh my God. And think about it. There's been even films that people go even a step further and they cause violence or whatever to the existing family. And the reason for that too is that a little bit of it is karma if you think about it. Because if somebody has a genuine crush, is genuinely in love with you, I mean in love with you, and you're not in love with them, the last thing you want to do is reel them in. The last thing you want to do is, you shouldn't be having sex with them. You shouldn't be flirting with them unless you care about them, and you shouldn't be having sex with them unless you care about them, because otherwise you're going to create a monster, okay? And people get really stressed out, and people do some crazy stuff when it comes to crushes and when it comes to love. And that's something you definitely want to stay away from. That's something you definitely want to stay away from. And I see people do that all the time. I mean, I'm like, why were you, what were you doing? And their response is usually like, well, I don't know. I'd had a few to drink and, I don't know. We just started flirting back and forth. And, you know, the next thing you know, I have her over at my house. Okay, so how is it going? Not so good. Like, I kind of thought that was going to be a one-night deal, and now she's calling me up all the time, and now it's weird around our friends, and it's just, it's not working. And I mean, that's the problem, is that a lot of times, if you got to deal with somebody with kid gloves that has a crush on you. You can't give in, and you can't start, you can't play that game with them, because if you play a game with them, they're not going to know it's a game. They're going to think you really love them. And that's kind of sad. And that's something you don't want to do to somebody. You don't want to make them sad. And so one of the big things is, don't have sex with somebody that has a crush on you. Because unless you really care about them the same amount, or you have a crush back on them, that's great. But if not, don't do it. Don't do it. You are going to cause a storm in your life that's going to take a while to be able to slow it down. And you will have hurt somebody's feelings in the process, hoping that they don't do anything dangerous. But at the same time, you will have hurt somebody in the process. The next person you should never have sex with, the next one you should never have sex with, is one that people love to fantasize about. It's one that there's all kinds of sexual graphic XXX pornography content about. It's got its own subject and its own section, because people get into that, because people have the power trip thing. Like, sex and the equivalent of sex and power is a big deal. And I'm not talking about having sex with the President of the United States, even though I guess that would be the epitome of power, right? But I'm talking about everyday life. Who is powerful in your life? Think about it. Who is powerful in your life? Who, to some degree, do you have to look up to? And in that situation, who would be the worst one to have sex with? Because, you know, that's what life's about, is that we can fantasize about things, but the fantasy and the reality are two different things. Okay? two different things. I mean, that fantasy might seem like a good idea, and it might be appealing in your mind, but what I would strive to explain is that keep that a fantasy, because when you try to live those fantasies in real life, things get a little quirky. And we're going to talk about that when I return from break, because we want to talk about the person you don't want to have sex with just because of the fantasy of power. Because I think it's important, because I've seen a lot of clients come in and out of my office who have either done this and it backfired, or they've done this with this person and they end up marrying this person, but then that person loses their title and the sex life changes and so does the marriage. So stay tuned. We return to me talking about the third person you should never have sex with. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about those four people that you should never have sex with. Yep, those four people. It's a big deal. And a lot of us, a lot of you just walk all over that line. You don't see that line in the sand, and then all of a sudden things just blow up in your face. And you go, well, I don't know why. I'm not that bad of a person. Why did this happen to me? Well, you know what? You broke this golden rule. And these are the four people you should never sleep with. You just shouldn't. You shouldn't unless you're in love with them and they're in love with you and this is kismet and it all works out. But if this is just a fantasy, then you need to rethink the fantasy about trying to take it into reality. The first person you should never have sex with is your neighbor. Remember, proximity can be a problem. The closer you are to somebody that you had sex with and that you currently aren't anymore will be a problem unless both of you are cool with it. And that's the key, is that most of the time, both of you aren't cool with it. One person wants to continue the relationship, and the other person was just like, well, it was convenient. And we have that bar downstairs, and we were drinking there, and then one thing led to another, and it happened. Okay? The second person to never have sex with is someone that you know has a serious, serious crush on you. Think about it. Someone you know that has a serious crush on you and you go and have sex with them, it's on like Donkey Kong. You're in it to win it now. Okay? And for all you out there, you know what I'm saying, because this person like has devoted themselves to you. Okay? They might have a shrine to you in their house somewhere. You got to be careful, because if you're not being real and honest about this and you don't really care about them, you can break their heart. But also, these people can be powerful and they can hurt you back. So you got to really think about this stuff. The third person, here we are, and that you should never have sex with, no matter all the fantasies, no matter any of the content that you've watched on XNXX or any of the XXX, you know, type of propaganda, you don't want to ever sleep with the boss. The boss is a big one. The boss is a big one, and a lot of people make that mistake because they like the power trip. They like the power. They love it. And I've seen clients that have come in here that have had sex with the boss and it didn't work out very well. I've had bosses come in here where it didn't work out very well, whether it was HR that found out or whatever else happened. And then I've also had clients where they married the boss. They were the secretary or they were the assistant and they ended up marrying the boss, and that didn't go well either. Because eventually the boss is no longer your boss, right? Think about it. Eventually, your boss is no longer your boss, and so that whole dynamic is somewhat gone. And the whole boss thing, though, if you're at work and you're fantasizing about having sex with the boss, you got to be very careful. One, who's married? And even if they aren't married, do you want this getting all over town? Do you want everybody at work to think of you in a certain light? I mean, it's pretty bad. And then people will talk about how you're, you know, sleeping your way up and all that kind of stuff. You got a lot of things to worry about, because it's not only having sex, it's also your reputation. And what if other people are having sex with that same person? I mean, it's just as bad as having sex with a coworker that you're not intending to have a relationship with. First of all, you could get in trouble at work because you're not supposed to be having sexual relations with coworkers. The second thing is, if it's not something like love and you're just having sex, this is bad because it's going to get around town. People talk. At work, people talk. There's a lot of drama. People talk. You don't want to be talked about in that kind of light. And all I'm saying is that you can find someone else outside of work to have sex with. Okay? I mean, we don't have to be that lazy. But I understand that some people fall for people at work, but you got to really think about it. Am I falling for that person because I really like them? Or am I falling for that person because they're around all the time? And the boss thing is a very interesting thing because of the power trip. But I don't really know if it's necessarily because you have, like, feelings for them. I think it's because it's taboo and it seems interesting. But where does it go from there? Where does it go from there? I mean, how far are you going to take this? Is it like, oh, that was fun. Got to live out that fantasy. That was an interesting fantasy. Well, I'm done now. Ooh, that was good. Really? Interesting. And that's the key, is that what are you thinking about doing? Where do you think this is going to go? And a lot of times in these types of fantasy situations, we're not thinking about anything. We're not thinking about the end game. We're not thinking about how we're going to deal with it if something goes wrong. We're not thinking any about it. Instead, we're thinking only at the time, right then and there, about our instant gratification. And that's something that we have to realize, is that when we only think about instant gratification, we're not thinking logically about what actually may happen, what can take place, and how this can change our life. The fourth person that you should never have sex with, the fourth person, and this is a biggie, guys. This is a biggie because it is. And from every perspective, realize that I'm talking to everybody that's single, married, divorced, separated, everybody, because you can think about this in your own perspective. Okay? Think about it. This last one, this fourth one, is really important. This last one is one that a lot of people screw up on. They do. And they do because it's convenient, but also because it's comfortable. But also because there's lasting feelings. The fourth person you should never have sex with is your ex. If your ex is truly your ex, you shouldn't be having sex with them. Mixed signals, okay? One person's going to feel pretty bad about it, or both people. And where does this go? If you've already broken up and now you're having sex together, where does this go? Why did you break up in the first place if it was so bad? Is it just the sex? And one person's going to feel violated. One person's going to feel used. That's normally how this works. And so you ended the relationship on one note, but how are you going to take it to? Where are you going to take it from? And, you know, I've seen some people where they have a moment of non-clarity, a moment of making bonehead decisions, and they step out of their marriage to see their ex. Yeah. And that is a problem. Because usually, if you're being able to step out of the marriage to see the ex, and the ex wants to see you, knowing you that you're married, the ex still has feelings for you. They still have feelings for you. And that's something you have to think about. Why am I doing this? And why are they doing this? And why am I in a different relationship if I'm even thinking about doing this? And the ex is one of those people that knows you really well. They know you really well. They know your buttons to push. And, you know, it's kind of like you have to read between the lines a lot. I had a client in here about a month ago, and we were talking about their previous relationship. And I said, so what's going on with that? And they're like, well, you know, we broke up because of these reasons, because they didn't want me to do this, and they had a problem with, you know, me having a job and this type of title and all this situation. And I said, okay, so have you talked to him lately? Yeah. Well, what capacity? Well, I ended up going over to his house the other night. Oh, really? Well, what happened? Well, we had sex, and I don't know, I think I got feelings again for him. But the relationship wasn't that good. And they didn't want you to be you. They had a problem with you being a leader. They had a problem with you having a job. They had a problem with you stepping up to the plate. Why would you want to be in a relationship with it? It doesn't make any sense. Well, maybe I jumped to conclusions. Maybe I need to give them another chance. And it's like you're going backwards. But I'll give you another scenario. What if you're in a relationship now that's working? You have a moment of idiocracy. You get back with your ex for a couple hours, and that ex is like, oh, you're not going anywhere. We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot, and I want you back. Think about just being divided. There you are in a new relationship, you get back with your ex. Man, we don't even know if you're coming and going. If you still have feelings for him, what are you going to do? You're going to be thinking about your ex the whole time? Or are you going to be thinking about your current relationship? Or when you're with your ex, you're going to be thinking about your current relationship, and when you're with your current relationship, you're going to be thinking about your ex? So you're never going to be happy anywhere you are? That's a difficult survival. To never be happy wherever you are is a problem. And again, I stress the fact that when you get back with your ex, even for sexual indiscretion, you've got to figure out, why am I doing this? Why am I creating this drama in my life? Why do I need this? Because think about it, how many times do you know friends of yours that have done this before, and instead of just getting sex out of it, they got a child out of it? All kinds of stuff. And the child was the best that could come out of everything, or all the other storm that could come down. Okay, I've had friends of mine that literally call me up and go, we need to talk. And I'll be like, what happened? One person might be, hey, I missed my period. I got pregnant. From who? From your ex? Or vice versa. I went over to her house and, you know, I don't know. One thing led to another and now she's pregnant. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. She's going to have the baby and I got to tell my wife? Oh, Jesus. This is stress that nobody needs in their life. When we return, I'm going to talk about what you can do if you've already had sex with one of these four people and you feel like you're stuck, what you can actually do. Also, I'm going to give you three tips on how to not put yourself in this position to begin with. The three magical tips on the things that you can do to not find yourself in this position, to walk away unscathed without having to say the prayer for boredom, and to find happiness in your life and to get what you want without having to fall into these categories. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about those four people that you should never have sex with. You know, a lot of times that we subconsciously know who we shouldn't, but that fantasy, that interest, that intrigue, or just pure boredom gets in the way. You know, a lot of times we know what not to do, but what? We do it anyway. You know, the four people, the neighbor, close to their proximity, the bigger the problem. The second person, the person you know has a big-time crush on you. The bigger the crush, the more the problem, because they actually care. And especially if you don't really care and you're just doing this just to have some sex, that's going to play badly for you. The third person is the boss or the coworker. Even though they might be in some sort of, you know, leadership role and there's a fantasy there, that will go away. And in the process, you're left with all kinds of issues at work. Maybe people are talking about you. Maybe people know about the situation. All kinds of things could happen. HR is contacting you, sexual harassment issues, who knows, okay? Bad deal. The fourth person you should never have sex with is your ex. Unless you're planning on getting back together, having sex with your ex is not a good idea. It just isn't. And for everybody that's listening tonight, I'm not just talking about single. I'm talking about for people that are single, who are currently married, who are divorced, anything. Having sex with your neighbor, someone that has a crush on you, your boss, or your ex is a bad idea, and especially if you're married. If you're having sex with somebody in one of these four categories, golly, you're going to be bringing some drama to your door, okay? And you got to really think about it. Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself in this problematic situation? And so let's talk about that right now. If you've already had sex with your neighbor, or somebody has a big-time crush on you, your boss, or your ex, and you feel stuck, what are you going to do about the situation? What do you do about it? Well, the first thing I think you have to do is you got to be honest. You got to sit down with them and be honest, because that's all you got right now at this point. If you feel stuck and you don't know what to do, you got to be honest with them and say, hey, you know what? This is what happened. And especially if you had sex with them just to have sex with them and they actually had a crush on you, you got to be honest. And you got to put the cards on the table and you got to do it in a very sweet and nice and honest way to get your butt out of a sling, okay? And this should teach you a lesson, okay? Hopefully they're not going to teach you a lesson too, but this should teach you a lesson to realize that you can't play with people's emotions, but also to realize that you got to think through things. The second thing is to explain your situation. Explain yourself honestly. Explaining yourself honestly always helps, and people will respect you more. They might not like you for it, but they'll respect you. And so if you found yourself in a bad situation that you shouldn't have been in the first place, explanation is key to your happiness. When you explain why you did something, people will respect that, takes you to the next level, you get your kudos back. It might be difficult, but guess what? You get out unscathed. However, if you're not being honest and you're not explaining, bad things may happen. Okay, bad things may happen, especially if you're married and you're having sex with an ex. That ex might just show up at your door one day when you're out of town and tell your spouse everything. Okay, think about it. What about the neighbor watching every move you make? Very interesting. Or having casual sex with somebody that you know has a big time crush on you. That can only be cataclysmic. That can end in only a bad way. You're either going to hurt them and break their heart, or they're going to break yours for you. You also want to repent, and you want to say you're sorry. Because when you ask somebody for forgiveness and you get through that, people usually do. As long as you're remorseful and you feel bad about it. But you can't keep doing the same thing. So, you know, you make a mistake and you move on, but you can't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. It doesn't work that way. You got to realize, what am I doing and why am I putting myself in this position? What am I missing, or what am I not working on in my own current relationship that I need to do this? So let's go to this next level, though, because I think that some of you are saying, well, hey, I'm not having sex with my neighbor. I'm not having sex with somebody who has a crush on me. I've been keeping it in my pants. I've been doing the right thing. So what do I need to do, though, to make sure that I keep in the right angle, to make sure that I don't make this mistake? And the first thing you can do to not make this mistake is to always think things through. Always think things over. Always let things take some time to think and to process. So, for example, I have people that come into my office all the time that go out to dinner and drinks with somebody, and without really thinking about it, not putting it into perspective, not taking a couple of days to think, they have sex with that person, and they go, oh my God, what did I do? So when you actually allow yourself time to think things over, guess what? You make better decisions. And yeah, at the time, it might feel like, oh man, I got to do this. But you know what? There's going to be regret, probably, to some degree. Either regret on the fact that, I shouldn't have done that, or regret on the fact that, oh man, I should have known that this person felt this way, or regret that you led someone on, or regret that you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, people are going to be talking about me. I mean, it's like making out at the company Christmas party in front of everybody with somebody you barely know. People are going to talk about it. Sure, people are going to talk about it. People love talking about other people. Think about it. You know, you have friends that do crazy stuff. You have friends that sleep around all the time or do whatever they do, and they're always making comments about how somebody's this or that. And it's like, you're like, what's going on? I mean, you're living this planet. You're living this path. You're living this deal. Why are you talking about how so-and-so's living? But people like to do that. So remember, if you got dirty laundry out there, and other people got dirty laundry too, they want to spread your dirty laundry out there a lot more, because guess what? It takes the eye off their dirty laundry. It takes your nose off their laundry and on yours. That's key. And that's why people do rumors. That's why they talk about stuff. And so we have to sit back and say, okay, the first things first, no matter what I do, I need to think it over. I need to sleep on it. I need to think it over, and I need to put it in perspective. That usually helps 80% of the time. I mean, seriously, that helps 80% of the time. And for an example, if you're in a situation where the drinks are flowing and you know that you're starting to feel a certain way and you're scared about that and you know it's not a good idea, you need to literally take a break, go to the restroom, wash your hands, do what you got to do, and you need to remove yourself from the situation. You need to get out. Because it's a lot better to leave that situation and to kind of say, hey, I got to go, whatever, than to have sex with somebody and the next day go, oh God, I got to get out of here. Okay, it's better to leave the situation in the simplest of its form prior. The next step is to not put yourself in compromising positions. The more of a compromising position we put ourselves, the more we can be compromised, correct? If you put yourself in a situation surrounded by somebody or somebodies that you find attractive and you put the right amount of mix of everything together, something's going to happen. And if it doesn't, it's because you got up and you left. But for the most part, something's got to happen. So how much compromising position are you going to put yourself into where you have to try to get out of it? And what I'm saying on this situation is that the more you surround yourself with things that you want when it's not good for you, eventually you're going to give in. No matter if it's chocolate or if it's sex. If you shouldn't be eating chocolate and you walk into a candy store and you've had a couple of glasses of champagne and you're surrounded by the chocolate, you're going to eat some chocolate. Same thing goes with sex. If you are wanting it and you're thinking about it, you're daydreaming about it, and you got people around you that you find attractive, and you add that to something else, that's straight up. You got to be really careful about that, because you're putting yourself in a compromising position. And why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Do you want to compromise yourself? Do you want to bring drama and stress and strain to your life? Do you really want to have pain? Because that's what you're doing. You're sabotaging yourself and setting yourself up for failure because you're putting yourself in a situation that is difficult, if not impossible, to get out of as a human being. Because we do have needs. People have needs. People have desires. And if you're stacking the deck against yourself to not be able to move clear from that, that's going to be a problem. Especially if you feel vulnerable. Especially if you feel vulnerable. If you feel vulnerable, you got to stay out of those situations big time. If somebody wants to have drinks with you and you find them remotely attractive, you need to stick to coffee and you need to stick to the daytime, okay? If you find your boss highly attractive and you have to do a dinner meeting, you need to stay away from the alcohol. Anything that takes your inhibitions down, you got to watch out for, unless you're wanting to do this. And then it's all about you, because in the end, there's nobody going to be at the end of the pearly gates going, well, you know, so-and-so, they didn't do anything wrong. You know, they never had sex. They never did this. They never did that. No, it's all about you. Now, what your actions do to other people, as far as if other people find out about your actions, that's a different story. But in the end, you're your own judge. So you have to define what makes sense for you to do and what doesn't make sense. And if you're going to feel guilty over something, then you got to step back and realize, how guilty am I going to feel? Why am I going to feel guilty? And why am I setting myself up for failure by putting myself in a compromising position? Last but not least, fantasy is great, but fantasy is just that. Fantasy is a great thing, but fantasy is just that. No more, no less. We can have this great fantasy in our mind. We can have this great image. We can have all this stuff. But usually when we try to make that into a reality, it falls short. It's not nearly as cool as the fantasy. And what have we gone through to try to create this fantasy? And you know what? What are we losing out on? And a lot of times when we try to recreate the fantasy, we lose out because it doesn't even shine a light to it. It's nowhere near it. And so we have to step back and go, okay, what am I doing? Why do I need this? Or why am I trying to play out this fantasy? And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times it's a lot easier to play out the fantasy on a visual format instead of in a physical format. And so if you want to play out some fantasies and you're interested in making that happen, you need to figure out how to do that probably solo. Because I'm honest with you, trying to create a fantasy in real life doesn't ever work. The only way you can have a fantasy that semi-works in the beginning is to not know any facts, to not really know the person, and to kind of not really have any answers to any questions. And that's cute for a little while, but then that gets weird. And so a fantasy is a great idea because it's our mind trying to make something more interesting, trying to play tricks on us, you know, making us feel one way or another. But really step back and think about it. Is this fantasy going to go well? Is this going to work out? If you're having sex with the boss, is this something you want to continue to do? If you're thinking about having sex with the boss, what's going to come out of this? Okay. What's going to happen? How are you going to feel about yourself? And I think the biggest thing about sex is, how will you feel about yourself after it's over? How will you feel about yourself as it's happening? If you feel guilt or strain or anger or depression, or you feel less or whatever, this is a bad experience. This is an experience that you shouldn't repeat. If you are happy and this is good and this works for you, fine. But you got to sit there and you got to police yourself and say, what matters to me most? What do I want out of life? And, you know, what do I want to deal with? And if you don't want a lot of drama in your life, these are the four people that you probably shouldn't be having sex with. But if you do, at least you know now how to deal with it, how to get out of being stuck, but better yet, how to not find yourself in that position. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you coming up next. And you know, on Perspectives, there's always more answers and less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.